Who's ready for a message today? Yeah, this is going to be a Father's Day message about fathers. And normally I don't speak about fathers very often. Who can recall me ever speaking about fathers in a message? Anybody recall? Because I can't recall. And mothers, who's ever heard me preach about mothers before? Yeah. One of the reasons why I haven't done it is because I know sometimes I've always been a little bit reluctant to speak about these subjects because I'm aware that sometimes when you start talking about fathers or mothers, it can start pushing a few buttons. But I'm actually feeling all stirred up that we need to teach what the Word of God has to say about mothering and fathering to make our family stronger. What do you reckon, everybody? So that's what this is all about today. And Father, we just come before you and we just thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord, with us. We just love you. You are a good, good Father. And we just pray, Lord, for the next 25 minutes, Lord, or so, that, Lord, you'll speak to our hearts. We just pray our minds will be open to you. We pray that our hearts will be good ground for your word today. And, Lord, we want to go out, Lord, later on, better for having been here. We want to go out changed. We want transformation to take place in our own personal lives, but in our families as well. So we just pray, Lord, just to anoint our hearts as we receive your word in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. So this message has got a very interesting title. It's called Father's Day. And that was a dad joke. Okay, amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3 says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go bad for you. Things will go well for you. This is really important. Things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. So, ladies and gentlemen, even though it's 2018, it's still right for children to obey their parents. But we all understand that once children become adults and move out of home, they're no longer under the parents' authority. Although if you've lent them money, you should still have a vote. Amen. However, no matter our age, God still expects us to honor and to show respect to our parents. And God has said that if you honor your mum and your dad, then things will go well for you and you will have a long life on earth. That's a great promise that hardly anybody ever talks about. So honoring your parents is clearly important to God, even though God knows that all parents make mistakes with their kids. Who's ever made a mistake with their kids? Who's ever had their kids tell them they've made a mistake with their kids? I remember, Rochelle, do you remember years ago when Ben was little? He's always been an interesting child, that one. But remember when he was little, I spanked his bottom. And Ben is very strong-willed. He was the kind of kid that you would spank and he would just refuse to cry. So you'd spank him forever until he cried. No, I never did that. No. But I'd always spank him on his bottom and when he was naughty. And but one time I spanked him and he deserved it. And then later on, we found out he called the Child's Protection Helpline and dobbed me into the authorities. And because he thought I'd made a mistake. Here's the interesting thing, is that whoever he spoke to and phoned up, they told him that he was a naughty boy, and they agreed with me. Amen. But yeah, so parents make mistakes. Sometimes our kids think we make mistakes, because God knows that no parent is perfect. We need to remember that. If you're young and you're at home today, your mum and dad aren't perfect, they're just like you. But God still expects us to honor and respect our parents anyway, even though they're not perfect. However, we must recognize that some parents, and very few, but some parents can do bad things to their children. And I don't want to to trivialize with this message today. I don't want to trivialize the pain of family life. And some issues, especially issues where there is abuse, should be appropriately addressed. And I think everybody in this room agrees with that and understands that. Nonetheless, most parents, by the vast majority, most parents sincerely do the best for their children because most parents love their kids. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And for all that we hear about bad men, you know, we hear a lot about bad men because there are bad men. But for all that we hear all about bad men who, you know, neglect their family responsibilities, and but there are many more good men. There are many more good men who are trying to do their best, the best that they can. You know, where I live, my neighbors aren't Christians, but they're good men who love their kids. And we've got good men here at Real Life Church, and we're not perfect men, but we're trying to do the best we can. And sometimes it's hard to do the best we can because of circumstances in marriages. We get all of that. That kind of makes it difficult, but we're doing the best we can. Amen? So whoever you are, I encourage you, and no matter our age, to honor and be respectful to your mum and dad. That's a good place to say amen. And if you do that, your father, your dad in particular, will be impacted by your respectful attitude towards him. And that's because, some of you don't understand this, but that's because men always respond to respect and honor. A man's greatest emotional and psychological need is to be shown respect and honor. Everybody thought it was sex. Actually, it's not. Man's greatest need is to be shown respect and honor. And so, ladies, I'm just helping you out here, ladies. If you want your man to change his ways, well, you know that nagging is not working. When are you going to stop? Amen, amen, amen. It ain't happening for you. So if you want your man to change his ways, then show him honor and respect in the way you treat him. And here's a big one, also in the way you speak to him. 1 Peter chapter 3 brings this out a little bit. It says to wives that their husbands can be won over when they see that you live holy lives and that you respect your husband. Doesn't mean you have to agree with him, but I'm talking about respect for your husband. Men are always drawn to whoever shows them respect and honor. We're drawn to people who show us respect and honor. And today we're showing honor and respect to our fathers. Amen? And Jesus taught us to address God as our Father. That's quite radical. Jesus taught us that prayer, didn't he? Where he says, "Our Father, who art in heaven." And God is a good, good Father. We just sang it this morning. Who knows that just about every church in Australia probably sang that same song this morning. God is a good, good Father. In fact, God is the only perfect parent. God is not like you. He's not like me. He's not like us. He's a perfect parent. And he loves you, and he calls you to be his own. And together we are the sons and daughters of the living God who is a good, good Father. Jesus said this in Matthew 7, verse 11. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? What a beautiful verse. We love our children. I love my boys. You love your children. We love our children with all of our hearts. And we want to bless them with the best. Amen? So imagine how much more that God desires to bless and give good gifts to you. He's a good, good Father and he loves you. Amen? So today, what we're going to do just for a few brief moments is we're going to just take a tiny glimpse at the Father heart of God. And at the same time, I hope I can achieve this, at the same time, we're going to look at God's example of fatherhood so that we can see how dads here today can imitate him to become better fathers. Did that just make sense? Okay. So just a couple of things. I do want to say this. No more slides. Just hold them for a moment. I just got a couple of disclaimers. I'm actually going to share some personal stories. And I don't want anybody here to make, and sorry for that, but it's my life and that's all I know. But in sharing the personal stories, don't conclude that my family is perfect. I'm going to talk a little bit about my dad. He's a great man, but he's a flawed man. I'm a flawed man. I'm still trying to work out how to be the best dad that I can be. So I just want to say that. I'll tell the personal stories and don't think, oh, they've got it all together. No, we haven't. We're all on this journey the same way as everybody else is here. Amen? That's really, really important. The other thing too is I just want to acknowledge single parents and especially single mums here today. Because when you're a single mum, you not only got to be mum, you've got to be dad as well. And I think single mums deserve medals. Amen? For what they do. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was praying about this. I was going to have my notes. I didn't have my notes now. But I just was praying about this earlier. That if you are a single mum, I just want to encourage you to stay close to God the Father. Stay close to Jesus and your children will not lack in Jesus' name. So I just want to say that. I also want to acknowledge that our families are often dysfunctional. And as we look at the father heart of God and look at this template for us to be better fathers, we also know that the backdrop is that we live in a dysfunctional world and sometimes it's hard to do certain things because of marital situations. Everybody understand that? Okay, but who's ready to go for this today? We're going to glimpse the father heart of God. Here we go. So I'm going to do this by using the letters of the word father that we've got on the screen there. And so we're going to start with the letter F. And the letter F stands for faithful, protector, provider and preparer. The letter F stands for faithful, protector, provider and preparer. God our Father, He is our faithful protector, He is our provider and He is our preparer. In the same way, it's every father's calling to protect his children. It's every father's calling to provide for his children. Is every father's calling to prepare his children for the challenges of life. That is your calling. These on the screen are the three primary tasks of a father, and God expects dads to be faithful in these tasks just as God is. Let's look at the first one. God our Father is our faithful protector. Scriptures say, Psalm 91 verse 4, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me, I will protect those who trust in my name. God protects his children. God is watching over you even today. He knows exactly where you are. God is determined to protect you so that you will inherit eternal life. Anyone who messes with you will find themselves messing with God. In the same way, we fathers are called to protect our children because, especially when they're little, our children are vulnerable. I can remember many years ago, at the age of 16, which wasn't so little, I was with Gary Butcher. I used to go to school with Gary Butcher. And we were walking down Kema Street. We used to live in Belmont. We both went to Belmont High School. So did Lucy. And we were just minding our own business, deep in conversation, whatever we were talking about. And I remember we had our bags on our shoulders like this. We used to walk along like this, just talking. And we walked past a house where these men were renovating this house. My house was only about 100 meters further down the road. And as we just walked by, a man on the roof shouted out something really vulgar at us both. That was disgusting. We chose to ignore him and we just carried on. We thought, oh, what an idiot. And we carried on talking. We were just a little bit further down the road. Then suddenly there was a shout behind us. And we turned around, there was this guy quickly come off the roof, and he was walking towards us. And we just stood there looking at him, thinking, oh, what's going to happen? What does he want to say? He was using interesting language. And he was not a particularly tall man, but he clearly worked out at the gym. He was a broad. And he walked up, and he was about this close from the pulpit to me there, and I'm standing there going, 16-year-old boy with pimples all over my face. And he looked at me, and he looked at Gary. Now, Gary's always been slightly taller than me, as most men are. He looked at me, looked at Gary, and as quick as lightning, he went, whack, and hit Gary in the head, and Gary went flying backwards. It was a king hit. And Gary landed on the footpath. His bag went everywhere. I was stunned. It was so fast. He didn't even threaten it. It just happened. And then he ran off. So I picked Gary up. He was stunned. His face was coloring. It went funny yellow straight away. He was just in a state of shock. Picked up his bag. And I only lived just down the road. So I went down the road. And guess who happened to be home from work that day? It was my dad. He was in the shed. He was working. So I took Gary in there. And Dad had been trying to teach us to box, and we weren't very good at it. And we told him what had happened. Dad looked at Gary's face, and he just was furious. Went to his toolbox and got a Stilson spanner, the big kind. He said, "Take me to this guy." So we walked up the road, went to the house, and all the men are working there. And, of course, it becomes suddenly tense when you see a man with a Stilson spanner in his hand. And this guy's back on the roof. And so my dad exchanged some pleasantries with him and invited him down. And he came off the roof, and all the men went quiet. Everything was tense. And my dad said, "I'll stand there." He says, "You want to have a fight? Let's do it. Let's fight. Come on, you coward, fight. How could you pick on 16-year-old boys, you coward? Come on, fight me. Fight a man." And the man, and I'm thinking, is he? Because Dad's going to smack him in the head with his thing. And then the man just went, and my dad says, "You coward." He says, "You apologize to this boy. You apologize to this boy." That was Ozzy, the other boy. Even though he hadn't touched me. Amen. And he apologized. And Dad, my father just humiliated him, and we just went off. And as we walked back to the house, I'm thinking, that's my dad. Next day when we walked by, we didn't see that guy. I reckon he probably got the sack by the foreman after that. What do you think, everybody? I was so proud of my dad, but that's what fathers do. Fathers protect their children. And not just from bullies, but from things like porn on the computers, guys, and other evil influences. Fathers protect children from making bad friends, check out their friends, and from making bad choices. Fathers protect their children from apathy towards God. This is what a dad does. Fathers protect their children from things that will do them harm. Amen? Next one is, God is our Father is also our faithful provider. Philippians 4:19 says, "And God, who will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." Amen. God knows what you need. He is able, and he's willing to look after you. Amen. You can trust God to come through for you. He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Doesn't matter what happens in the economy, God's got your back. Amen. In the same way, fathers provide for their children's needs. And here's an example. This is another story. This guitar means so much to me. This is my guitar. It's a really good guitar. And this reminds me of my father providing for my needs. I used to play guitar a lot. And in fact, we used to have a little band. But during the 70s, in my teens, I started to learn the guitar. And my parents didn't have a lot of money. And they weren't poor, but they didn't have a lot of money. But they saw that I wanted to play guitar, and so they went and got this quality guitar. They bought it from Musgrove's for $250. Back in 1975, that was a lot of money. And I still got that. I want to keep that as a reminder that my father looked after me. And sometimes, you know, that's fathers actually, and mothers too, they go without so their kids can live a blessed life. I keep that at home. I don't want to ever get rid of it because it reminds me of my father's love for me. Our fathers should be, and they are, our providers. Amen? Anybody want to have a play of it afterwards? It's actually, you remember that guitar when I used to play it? Yeah. Fathers do their utmost to make sure that the needs of their children are met. Next one. God our Father prepares us for life. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 says, "All scripture is inspired by God." That includes Old Testament, New Testament, everybody. God uses the scriptures to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. God is a good Father who is concerned that we are equipped and we're prepared so we succeed in life and produce good works. God does that through his word. We call the word the Bible. Bible, absolutely. And God teaches us His ways, and He teaches us about life, and He teaches us about wisdom. In the same way, we fathers are called to prepare our children for life. That's what we do. And we do that by giving our children chores and responsibilities. Still believe in that. We do that by our own example. We do that by talking through the circumstances of life with our children. So F is for faithful, protector, provider, and preparer. And God our Father is our faithful, protector, provider, and preparer. He never ceases to be our protector, provider, and preparer. And God desires for us fathers to be faithful to our children also. Faithfulness is the great character trait. Faithfulness is always better than talent, is always better than ability. Faithfulness is better than money, and faithfulness is better than having a fun personality. A faithful father, a man who is constant in season and out of season, is a true treasure. A faithful husband is a true treasure. You want to be a better dad? Well, then just be faithful to your family and faithful to your kids. A is for available and attentive. God our Father is available and attentive to you. Hebrews 13:5 says, God says, has said, I will never leave you and I will never abandon you. God the Father is always with you. Jesus says, lo, I am with you to the end of the age. His other name is Emmanuel, God with us. He's always available to you. When you pray at any time of the day, God is listening to you. And He's so attentive to you that He even knows the number of your hairs on your head. He is a good, good Father. In the same way, good fathers are available and attentive to their children. Let me tell you how you spell love to a child. It's spelled T-I-M-E. And dads, children love your gifts. Of course they do. But more than anything, they want your attention. Dad, watch me. Dad, look at me. Dad, look what I've drawn. They want your attention more than anything, even when they pretend they don't, especially when they become teens. So showing up at a sports event, presentation at school, these things are really important to your kids. Now, fathers cannot be available to their children every moment of the day because we've got to go to work. And some fathers are unable to live with their children, so it makes it very difficult for them. But a father must endeavor to have time set aside for his children somehow, some way. Before I was a pastor, I used to work for a company where I had to travel a lot around the state and drive around the state. And so I always used to look for opportunities to take my boys with me if I could. I tried to be creative in finding ways to give the boys, when they were little especially, some of my time. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Nothing's changed. Rochelle and I are spending a fortune again to fly to London tomorrow. Again, we'll be away for the next 3 weeks. And I spend a lot of time to go to London to give my 30-year-old son some of my time. Doesn't matter how old they are, does it, everybody? And because there's something that I can give to my son that his work and success cannot give to him. I can give him his father's attention. And even men need their father's attention. And a good father is attentive to their child when they're with them. Good fathers train themselves to be in the moment, stay in the moment, and listen, and then remember what your child has said to you. Good fathers are available and attentive. T is for teacher and guide. God our Father is your teacher, and He is your guide. Psalm 32 verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye upon you. What a beautiful verse. And God the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us into all truth. Amen. Your Heavenly Father does not want you to be dumb. He doesn't want you to be ignorant. Your Heavenly Father tells you the truth about you, about God, about redemption, about eternity. Our Heavenly Father loves us so much that He teaches us how to navigate through the challenges of life. And He does this through His Holy Scriptures. So if you want to be wise, then listen to the Father's teaching. Amen? In the same way, a good father is a teacher and guide to his children. A father might not be good at algebra. He might not be good at science or geography. But a wise father teaches his children about life, about God, about managing their emotions, about self-control, and about true success. That's what fathers do. For us, for Rochelle and I, our bed used to be the place of educating our boys when they lived at home, even when they grew up. And we've spent hours lying in bed together just talking about life. In fact, we've had Ben here with us this week. And I was up early, and then when I came in, he was lying in my bed. He's 28 years of age, but that's where you go when you want to have good conversation. That's kind of funny. Today, my adult sons still ask for my thoughts on a decision they're making or a problem they're facing, because they know that I've got no other agenda than to see them succeed. And I still do the same thing with my dad. I did it this week, gave him a call, said, "Dad, what do you think about this?" I bounce things off him and feed off his rich wisdom, because that's what dads do. That's what dads do. A good father is a teacher and guide to his children. H is for hero. God our Father is our hero. Isaiah 42:13 says, "The Lord will march forth like a mighty hero." Ladies and gentlemen, no one is like the Lord. There is none like Him. Amen? The Lord Jesus, He stepped into my world, stepped into your world, and He stooped down to lift us up in Him. The Lord has rescued us. He's had mercy upon us. He has redeemed us. God is the one constant in my life. He is the one constant in your life. God, my Father, He's my hero. And I want to be like my hero. Who's with me? In the same way, good fathers are heroes to their children. You know, there's something, I think, a little bit strange within the human heart that causes us to look for heroes. We're a culture obsessed with the pursuit of celebrity heroes. I don't know why we're like that, and maybe it's because it's connected with the desire to worship. I don't know. But I do know this. I do know that good fathers should be the legitimate heroes of their children. When kids are little, they think that their dad is super strong and tough. Who remembers those days? Little girls, they love to hold their daddy's hand real tight, and they feel so secure in his strength. Little boys, they love to wrestle with their dads and test their strength against his. However, as your kids get older, they soon discover that dad is just an average man like all other men. That he has shortcomings, he has flaws, and he's not that strong after all. But a good father can still be their children's hero by being a man of strong character and a man of principle. Our kids will adopt many heroes as they journey through life, and that's okay. But a good father stays constant in character and principle through the years of their child's growth through to adulthood. In an ever-changing, uncertain, and very scary world, Dad becomes the evergreen, constant hero. He is someone to imitate. He's always reliable, steady, always ready, always able to ride out the storms of life, and always able to bounce back when the going gets tough. And a good father's kids eventually see that in their dad, and they draw strength from dad's character and principles. Good fathers are heroes to their children. Amen? Amen? Amen. Praise God. Yeah. E is for encourager. God our Father is our encourager. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 6 says, "But God who encourages those who are discouraged encouraged us by the arrival of Titus." God will never talk rubbish to you. God will never criticize you. He will never pull your personality apart. God will never discourage you. He might have to smack you on the bottom sometimes, but He will never discourage you. God, your Father, is constantly encouraging you and building you up. God always cheers you on. Amen. Because that's the heart of God the Father. He's a good, good Father. He is our encourager. Amen. And in the same way, good fathers encourage their children. Now, I learned a long time ago that mums and dads are very different. Both are special, and they complement one another. I remember as a child learning that my dad smelled different to my mum. Mum always smelled sweet, but dad, he had a musty, earthy smell about him, and his shirts in particular. He was a blue-collar worker. And when I was a boy, he would always have a snooze on Sunday afternoons, and his mouth always used to be open, and he always used to snore. And he'd have a rest before having to go back to church. And so I would cuddle up to him on the couch when he fell asleep on those Sunday afternoons, and I just used to sniff his shirt, lean on it, and I loved the smell of his shirt. It was a man smell. I liked it. Mum and Dad were different. In the same way, when Mum encouraged me, I felt good. It was sweet. But Dad only had to say a few words of encouragement, and I lit right up on the inside when he encouraged me. I could do anything on a few words of encouragement from my dad. A good father understands the power of his words. A good father understands the significance of his words to his children, both to daughters and to sons. Your words can either crush or build your children. So use your words wisely. So a good father uses his words to encourage his daughter and to encourage his son. A good father speaks life over his daughter, life over his son. So good fathers encourage their children. Amen? Amen? Grandparents encourage their grandchildren. You're the sweetest little girl I've ever seen. Amen? You're such a big boy. There's so many things you can do to encourage the children. Amen? Amen. Last one. R is for role model. God our Father is our role model. Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children." Wow, great verse. Jesus Christ, we know, is God revealed to us. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Jesus also called us to follow Him. And so Jesus Christ is our role model. When you imitate Jesus, you're imitating the Father. And Jesus Christ, for every one of us in this room, He is a perfect man for anyone to imitate so they can build a good life. In the same way, a good father understands that he is a role model, primary role model for his children. Children watch, they learn, and then they copy. So important to remember that. Children watch, they learn, and then they copy. And so a good father is trying to be like God. A good father intentionally provides a good role model for his kids. And by the way, for us men here at Real Life Church, we need to be providing good role models for other kids, people's kids too. A lot of kids miss out on a lot of this stuff I'm talking about today. But we can be good role models for other children. Amen? Amen. One of the best fathers in the Bible was a man by the name of Mordecai. He was a father to his cousin, Esther. You don't have to be a biological father to be a good father. Amen. Be a good role model. And a good father lets his children see his devotion to Jesus. A good father lets his children see him read the Bible at home. A good father lets his children see him go to church. He worships, he prays. A good father treats his children's mother with love and respect. Now, I know that's a difficult one when you've split up, but even if you've split up and had a divorce, there's still room for love and respect for the sake of your children. I don't mean to be pressing any buttons, I'm just saying. We're Christians. A good father works hard and keeps healthy. A good father does his best to be like Jesus. A good father learns how to handle his money well because kids are watching what he's doing with his money. A good father applies discipline to his own life. A good father lives simply. A good father chooses to be joyful. A good father understands that one day his kids will be like him, so he chooses to be the best role model that he can be. He's constantly aware that little eyes are watching him all of the time. And a good father does all of these things because he desperately loves his kids. That's why he does that. In conclusion, God, our Heavenly Father, is our faithful protector, provider, and preparer. He is available and attentive. He is our teacher and guide. He is our hero. He is our encourager. He is our role model. And I say, may all the dads and fathers here at Real Life Church endeavor to be like God the Father, and our children will be better for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Yeah.